Hello and welcome to Reanimated episode 218. This is Stuart, one of your hosts. I'm California guy. Joining me is New York lady, AJ Conrad. What's up?
You know, all sorts of good things going on today.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
I had a delicious pizza for dinner. You know, sometimes when pizzas come and they're like just done perfectly, I had one of those tonight and it was awesome.
Those are the greats. I am going to have carnitas tacos because, well, made at home, which will be a first for me. I've never had carnitas at home before. So I have to give all thanks to my my wife who had this idea and went out and bought multiple pounds of pork.
Did you slow cook said pork?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Well, pressure cook, that sounds, so, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's going to be off the hook. What else is off the hook is some of our news this week. Actually, it's not that crazy. It's a pretty tame news week, but we are going to get through a couple news bits and then chug into Fear the Walking Dead Season 5B opener and then the next episode. So that's 9 and 10 for the season. And that'll be the podcast today. But H.A., you were the one who dredged up some of this AV Club and other material. Yeah. So give me the rundown. What are we talking about?
Well, several of my friends sent me this YouTube video, and basically it's the, I don't know, have you ever seen any of this guy's work? It's like Nerd Writer, I think is what he calls himself.
This is the YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's...
I'm unfamiliar with this creator.
Yeah, so anyway, it basically is a video about like kind of the history of zombies, you know, up through George Romero and The Walking Dead. You know, it treads the usual ground, but it's done pretty well, and some of it's funny. It does end with a little bit of an Adam Driver, a zombies, a ghoul, which you know I enjoy.
Oh, God.
So that was all right. It's about 7 minutes long, so that was kind of fun. And then in other news, apparently there is going to be a Kiss Zombie comic book series. And basically the thing is that, you know, I guess Kiss is sort of rounding out, like, I don't know, their farewell tour or something like that. And then they decide to do this and they're really excited about it. So it's some of the art, at least what I've seen, is kind of funny. I honestly didn't know whether this was a joke or not. And even if it is, either way, it's great. I'm cool with whatever this is about.
It'll be interesting. Worth a look for sure.
Yep.
And the AV Club article was kind of like a primer, and also just like, I guess, in the same vein as the Nerd Writer thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. Same
thing.
I think they were just talking about the YouTube video, so that's all it was.
Okay. So if you haven't listened to our very first, like, 10 episodes of this podcast in a while, and you want a short reminder on why zombies, check out that stuff. It'll be in the show notes. Other news that broke, kinda... whenever D23 happened, I think that was last week, but it's all been under wraps. There was no public release of this information. It was just for people at this conference or convention or whatever D23 is. It's some sort of Disney thing. There was some footage or maybe just two frames of the upcoming animated series, What If, Marvel's What If, which is part of Phase 4. And these two frames showed Peggy Carter as Captain Britain, which is... Mm-hmm. So all of these What Ifs are going to be based off of, apparently, one-shot comic books that were written in the MCU that are kind of like alternate universe kind of stuff. And the reason why we care, because you're like, Peggy Carter is Captain Britain, I don't, whatever, other than it being kind of badass, the thing that we care about is that one of these frames showed Captain America as a zombie.
Yep. But the artwork, at least I saw the Peggy Carter one. Did you see the Captain America one?
I have not seen that because all this other stuff is from leaked, you know, cell phone footage.
Yeah, it's leaked. The one of Peggy Carter looks pretty cool, though. At least the animation looks, the artwork looks cool.
The description I've been reading is like that the animation feels kind of like Pixar, that some of it calls back to the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse animation style. If that's the case, I'd be super pumped because that movie is kind of amazing. So... I don't know. I'm very excited. There's going to be 23 episodes. 1/23rd of them apparently will feature a zombie. And so sign me up, man.
I'm excited about it. I was excited when they first announced it, and now I saw a little bit of the artwork, so I can't wait to see whatever they do with this. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, and also, did you see the trailer for The Mandalorian while we're on the topic?
I did not.
Oh, get thee to a YouTube and watch it. It's going to be so good.
All right. And I also have a bit of news that I did not throw in here, and it's not, well, it's technically not zombie related. It's really just not zombie related. It's Jaws related. But yes, it's sort of zombie related in the sense that, our good friend Greg Nicotero, is obsessed with Jaws. And so they had a lot of these, sort of the sharks that they would use, or that they used in the film, and they were kind of like left out in sort of a parking lot, sort of just kind of breaking down and whatever. And he found one of the last ones, or somebody found it, and it was in pretty rough shape. So Greg Nicotero restored it, and there's some really cool like photos of him having it in his like basically his workshop with all these like other zombie things in there, and he's just restoring it, and it looks pretty awesome.
So he's going to be working on a shark versus zombie movie coming up, I guess, or
I don't know. I think he just liked the fact it, like, I think this was an important part of his childhood. In fact, like, yeah. There's like an article on NPR about this, and then another one on like Movie Web. We'll try to find the links and throw it in there. But there's like pictures of him as a kid by one of those sharks, like that when he went to visit, I think Universal Studios or something. But he was really excited talking about the restoration process. I just thought it was kind of fun.
I like those kind of maker videos. Adam Savage from what's it called? Mythbusters has a lot of that kind of content out there too, even though he's probably not on the same level. He might be in terms of breaking props as Nicotero, but yeah, that's just fun stuff to watch. Those guys who are super creative and good with their hands. Not me. Neither of those.
Yeah,
things.
And I also enjoyed seeing Jaws in the same workshop as Walking Dead stuff. So that's that cool. Just made me happy. I mean, generally,
maybe he's like looking at remaking Zombie. You know, the movie we reviewed not long ago. That famous
I don't
underwater
think so.
Scene.
He basically was just doing this because it was the last one that was sort of in existence. Yeah. And I think they're putting it on display in one of the, it's like, it's either like the Universal Studios Museum or something like that. But he's a talented artist. It's really just awesome to watch him work.
That's great. So. Well, what's not great was episode 9 of Fear the Walking Dead.
Did
OMG.
You hear my rage?
No,
did
I mean,
you hear
well, yes.
Did you feel it?
I
did
could.
You feel my rage?
Because
I was raging.
It's like they got the memo that we were not into the amount of video camera stuff that they'd been doing. And they were like, well, F you two, reanimated. We're gonna literally go to a big spot and take every camera they have and make everybody carry a camera for an entire episode. And
also, we're going to take a lot of gas and we're just going to pour it into a lot of vehicles a lot just as part of these shots. I like started counting because I'm like, man, there's a lot of shots of them pouring gas into vehicles. And I guess it's to make clear the point that they found whatever oil fields Logan had been jabbering on about. Yeah. But like, did you notice it? It was like an inordinate amount of them pouring fuel into vehicles.
Well,
there's like
they
probably
have to.
At least... There's probably like 8 shots of them pouring fuel into vehicles in this thing.
They have to make up for the fact that they heavily hinted that this was going to be the next big plot point, and then they completely skipped over it.
Yeah.
So to come to this video episode, which, by the way, if I had one like short description of this video, it's like a commercial for people with gonorrhea. Is kind of how it feels, especially by the
end. That's totally how it feels. And it doesn't just feel like it feels like one of those like kind of local news stations commercials, not even like a national ad campaign, right? Or maybe for some kind of drug that has some really nasty side effects.
Yeah.
I don't know.
With all the weird edits and the cuts, which apparently Althea has the same approach to editing as the showrunners, where she makes people finish each other's sentences and have little like pithy one-liners one after another. It is unfortunate. It is an unfortunate episode that
there are also a lot of weird filters that they're using, like all over the place. I guess they're trying to be artsy. I don't know, but they're okay. Let's just go back to my biggest issue with the whole weird Althea video camera thing, the whole thing about even the idea of having these videos. Like, where are you going to have people watch these? where are you gonna like this videotape? It's like already the tape that we currently have, and I'm supposing, like, it's gonna be really hard to get. It's also super volatile. It doesn't last all that long, and then you're putting it out there in the wild, hoping that people are gonna watch your like PSA about helping each other.
Yeah. So for each tape they make, they also have to get a generator and a bunch of gas to run this TV for how long? I mean, I don't know how long a generator can run off of one tank of gas. I'm assuming it's not for multiple days.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. So anyway, I don't know how much you want to go into this episode because it's like really dumb, but it's like, I don't even know what to say about it. And even the whole premise of like, they keep hinting around at like, oh, this big thing that happened. Well, the big thing that happened was kind of dumb. In the end, really dumb.
Oh, yeah. Like what they're all like, oh, yeah, this was going to be, this was really going to hit Morgan. He had a lot going on with this house.
Yeah. It's, like,
so some guy got his hands on like 50 landmines. How do you do that in any country? Like, especially in the United States. I'm sure maybe there's a way. I don't know. If you're some sort of weird collector, you can find landmines, but I don't think that they're available.
Well, it also, let's just talk about logistics here. So he does this. Apparently the walkers can just walk here and these things explode. Well, obviously that's going to attract more walkers, right?
That's his whole plan.
But it just seems ridiculous. Okay. So, and he went off on it. His wife and his child are kind of shut in here. He went off to go get an inhaler for his kid. And that's the other thing. It's like they suddenly go to try to find an inhaler for the kid. They go to a pharmacy. There's no inhaler, and they automatically assume that the guy found it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know that an inhaler was there, man. Like, all of this writing to me was so sloppy. It was like somebody decided to put together the episode that would annoy me the most, and they did that.
Yep. Yep.
All the things I hate.
And Tess, by the second episode we're going to review, Tess starts this episode as a shut-in. She hasn't been out of her house since the beginning of the apocalypse, which is 2+ years.
Yet she totally knows what her husband does with these like devices and how to
she can solve the problem. She has the MacGuffin, and then by the second episode we watch, she's like out walking around, totally adjusted, not agoraphobic at all, and is becoming
eating pad thai
and becoming like a leader of the community. Also, potentially, we'll see. I mean, she's got kind of top billing.
She makes a lot of leaps here. And it's all about Tess.
Makes leaps.
The whole episode makes a lot of leaps that shouldn't be made.
Morgan, okay, here's a huge, huge problem for me. The scene where, for some reason, John Dory is just like, those zombies are going to set off those landmines. I better stop them in a quiet way. So he's just shooting them with his pistol. Which
are pretty loud.
Very loud. Maybe as loud as a landmine going off. I don't know. Maybe not. But still, not helpful. And finally, after a whole bunch of them show up, Morgan and Al run around the side of this enclosure, which John could have also helped with, to stop them from going in the gate. And Morgan's like, hey, maybe you want to stop filming? And Al's like,
she's like, I've rolled through worse. It's like, well, no, but maybe you want to put the camera down so you can help dispatch some of these walkers.
You're not a member of the press anymore. You have no reason to not be fighting and helping your friends.
And also, let's just say, all of them seem to not have any fear of running into this minefield. Like, all of them. And then, like, they're all, like, carrying cameras and doing stupid crap. I just, like, can't even with this episode.
When they roll up to Tess's house, Tess is like, are those cameras? And they're like, yeah, we're trying to keep a record. She's like, and he's like, maybe we should turn them off. And Al is like, no, this is important. And I'm like, no, this is not.
No, it's not important.
Of course, they're trying to make it important as their sales video, their gonorrhea medication video, or whatever they're trying to produce. Like, this is their pitch reel.
Well, the only thing I can figure out from this episode that they're trying to do is, first of all, set up the fact that they stole the oil fields from Logan, so they got that established. The other part is that they're definitely digging deep with Morgan and his psyche about like what happened to his wife and son. So they're bringing back that into the forefront. They've also got the thing going on with Alicia where she's kind of the new Morgan and doesn't want to kill walkers for some reason, which seems like, what? Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they do go through a whole litany of people's problems at the end of the sales pitch video, which also is just like, hey, let's give a lot of people a lot of ammunition, emotional and psychological ammunition, mm-hmm. if they ever have a problem with us.
Right. So that's pretty much what they did with this episode, and I can only imagine somebody just really had writer's block, and this seemed like an easy way out. I don't know.
Usually they start a second half of a season with some good stuff, right? I mean, like some eye candy.
This is not.
This was a bad episode. Let's just move on, I guess.
Yeah, let's move on to the next episode, which honestly is, you know, given that we're going back to the origins of zombies in terms of the film and Romero, I mean, mm-hmm. there's definitely an homage to Romero here because it's mainly in a mall, which is fun.
Yeah, and when they pitch the mall is like the whole episode other than the Dwight stuff. I was like, this guy Chuck is trying to tell them you should come to this mall and make your camp here because that's one of June's repeated things. Is we need somewhere to set up. We need a home. We need a place. I'm like, yeah, we've done prisons, you know, we've done, I guess, other things like towns and factories, hospitals a little bit. Nobody's ever really wanted to stay in a hospital except for those cops in Atlanta. But like a mall, we have not is still unbroached material for this show, even though it is well trodden in the genre. I was like, okay, cool, let's do a mall season. But then they don't even want to stay there at the end. They're talking about going to a farm, which I'm like, we've done farm. Farm was season two of The Walking Dead Prime.
Yeah, and just because you're calling it a ranch, it's still a farm. Also, like, with this mall, I don't know, like, wouldn't this whole damn thing have been looted? It's really strange that it's as intact as it is.
Yeah.
I don't understand this. It's like just because it was convenient for them to do, and this poor, like, security guy is just hanging out there before he gets bitten. And this just sets up, like, basically it's just and they have to figure out a way to get Dwight out of there so Morgan, can have his whatever with Grace, his adventure with Grace. And, you know, again, these are people that have cleared a lot more walkers than what we see here, and there's ways to do it here that you probably wouldn't be able to do other places. So, it just seems really odd to me, just the storytelling in this, second half of the season. Just a lot of stuff that doesn't make any sense. What, like, I still...
Yeah, well, go be more specific about the issues we've had.
So, first of all, the mall is absolutely, you know, there's no way that everything would be intact here. And it looks like it's pretty much intact.
Yeah, like no broken windows.
The first place people are going to go, especially when they're desperate, is a place that has all of this stuff. It's got food. It's got, like, camping gear. It's got protein powder or whatever the heck it does.
And that appears to be the biggest haul they get out of the mall is just muscle milk.
I know. It's got medical supplies. It's got like just a bevy of things that you might need to survive out there in the world. And so the fact that it's kind of there with just this one security guy is weird.
I don't know that he was a security guy for the mall. He was, you know, just a guy who was there.
All right. Well, either way, just the fact that this one guy found this is kind of odd.
Yeah.
And then, so they go there. It's Dwight. It's Morgan. It's Grace. And then suddenly, like, Morgan's like, oh, we got to get this stuff. We got to bring everybody here. We got to get these supplies or whatever. And Dwight goes, okay. But then, like, sort of baits one of the Logan's guys to him for still some unknown reason. I'm assuming they're going to tell us at some point why that is. So that seemed weird. So they get him out of the hair, and then basically Morgan and Grace can kind of like talk to each other about the fact that she thinks she's getting sick because of the radiation exposure and him not getting over his wife and child, which they just kind of relaunched in the last episode. And conveniently, Grace goes, oh, I saw that video. Is there something I can help with here? And that's kind of the whole thing with this whole episode, is them working out their weird psychodrama with each other.
Totally. So I assume that Dwight pulled this stunt because they got the blues music code that mm-hmm. that Logan's guys had hit, and that happened in the end of the first episode, right? We meet a couple of new people. Logan is apparently still in with his gang, although that was all kind of delivered by exposition rather than storytelling in the first episode. And they shoot up this guy's motorcycle and tell him to reach out to the good guys. But we don't actually see any of that happen.
Right.
But so Dwight gets this blues music code that says bad guys, which somehow tells him exactly where it happened. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, if they're there, that means they could come here. And that's why he makes his lure call and disarms himself, right?
I get it, but it's still dumb. And it just means he spends half the episode in the back of a truck tied up again, reasoning with the guy that he knows is like a dick.
Getting smacked in the mouth a lot, yeah.
And here's the thing. Dwight absolutely, like, knows all about things because he ran with Negan and he knows how all this stuff works. So I feel like he's smarter than that, but maybe not. I don't know, man. And then the funniest line in this whole freaking thing was when Dwight says to the guy, "How do you know my name?" Well, dude, you guys just put out all these, like, videos telling your life story to everybody. How do you think he knows your name?
Yeah.
It's sort of crazy.
And I think when he made his lure call, he goes, "This is Dwight. I'm going to travel down Route 17.
Yeah, he does say that, doesn't he?
So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of dumb.
Anyway, it's like, so I just feel like they're like, okay, well, we set up the thing where Morgan is all upset about his wife and his son. And they were, like, putting that as, like, this linchpin thing into this.
Which is all of a sudden, too. Like, in that first episode, in their sales video, they set up all of these, like, character needs that they're now going to be hammering for the rest of the season, which is really unfortunate. So Dwight needs to help people and find his wife. And June needs to get people to a safe place. I don't remember what John Dory's thing was. You know, Strand is like, "I need to take advantage of my second chance." Same with Charlie, basically. But they're all just like, this is why I'm motivated. This is my motivation as a character. It felt horrible.
So forced and bad.
But so we're left with Karen is like, "I need to live while I still got time." And Morgan, like you said, now it's all about his wife and kid who've probably been dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really unfortunate also that it's not unfortunate, but it's lame that they ship them so hard this episode. Karen David and Lenny Henry. Lenny Henry? Mm-hmm. Lenny James. And then at the end of the episode, they're like, okay, but Morgan's thinking about his wife and kids so much for the first time in 2 years that he's going to snub her and tell her that he has to go look for Al.
I also thought that it was sort of a, like, callback to her saying she was afraid to move forward with the person, and now he's the one who's afraid, even though he's telling her she's so brave and all that crap. Yeah.
So he's the one being a coward, and she's just come out of her, like, books on tape listening at double speed, and her epiphany moment is putting him on normal speed, and you're like, oh, she's finally she's figured out how to live. It's a little heavy-handed, but I also kind of enjoyed that.
I thought there were some cute moments in this. I don't mean to be so down on it. I did like the mall scenes. I thought that was fun. I thought the idea was fun.
Of course. I mean, like, after Stranger Things season 3, of course, we're all about malls right now. It's the season of the mall.
We're all right with that. And I also like when the whole convoy comes up and Daniel is really excited because he wants there to be, like, a Cinnabon there, and which that was pretty awesome.
2-year-old Cinnabon ingredients are not going to be okay, Daniel.
Probably, I don't know. They might be, because I feel like that stuff has so much preservatives in it that it'll probably last for, like, 40 years. I also very much enjoyed Dwight getting his hair cut and shaved by Daniel. I thought that was fun. So that was cool. But overall, I'm really not that jazzed about this season. Maybe it'll get better in the next episode, but these two seem really strange ways to kick off.
Well, it feels super predictable that Morgan is going to end up with, why can't I remember her name? Grace, I guess?
Yeah.
They are going to end up together. She might die from the radiation, but if you remember, you did watch Chernobyl, right?
Yeah.
And that one blonde lady who, like, kept hugging her radiated husband in the end credits is like, oh, and she lived and now she's got another child and she's, you know, happy. So I feel like that lesson has resonated with me that, like, you know, one in a million or whatever can totally just survive or shake off the radiation. And so maybe Grace can be that person. because, you know, she deserves a little more listening to books on tape at normal speed or even half speed.
She does. Although I have to say, that narrator of A Tale of Two Cities, that was pretty rough going at normal speed and at fast speed. It was kind of hard.
Weren't into his voice? No. I wonder if they had to get somebody to record that, or if they, otherwise copyright would be a mega problem.
Well, I don't know, but isn't that like, because that, Tale of Two Cities, it's like in Creative Commons, isn't it now?
It might be, but the recording of it, I assume, is still like a proprietary work. Whatever.
Maybe. So anyway, we'll find out about that because I know everybody's dying to know.
We need to find out about that immediately. But it seems like their convoy has really grown. Not only do they have all these people in the convoy, many of whom we've never seen before. Now Tess is a major face because she shows up. But they also talk about the kids being in Tank City with Wendell.
And they make that all like super secret. I do enjoy, like, there was like a funny thing about the trucking music that Wendell and that all they listen to is like that Wendell and Sarah listen to, that it's just, that's all they listen to, and the comments from everybody is really, that is hilarious. So there's some good things in this that make it seem like a community, and it's almost like they had just tweaked it just a tad, it would have been a lot more successful. Like, they're definitely having some of those lighter moments that I think they need. Did you also note how many times they mention the plane, how they, like, crash the plane, rebuild the plane, bring the plane back? They make it sound as if it's, like, Noah's Ark or something.
Yeah, definitely. They're trying to make that seem to be, we've done the impossible, and now it's paying off, and which is part of their sales video, too. Althea apparently took the time to go and film the radio with calls coming in.
Nice.
So she was standing there while somebody's sitting at the radio. She's standing there just recording and waiting for somebody to call in because she got like the first calls, right?
Yep, I guess so.
Oh, so painful. And the worst, we've talked a lot about the sales video and how horrible it is, but they also take a long time during this video to specifically poke Logan and his gang in the eye over and over again.
Which it's like, okay, it probably not so smart.
Not smart, not safe.
Yeah.
And Logan's group also make a comment about having more bullets than they know what to do with. I'm not sure how that's their situation. Yeah. Maybe we'll find out that they've taken over a bullet factory or whatever.
Yeah, that just seems weird to me. So not off to the strongest start. I do like a couple of things they've done with some of the relationships. I'm kind of curious about why it's taken this turn, so maybe I should look a little bit more into this, but it does seem a little bit strange, but I mean, we're going to go through it. We're going to go through it with you because that's what we do.
And we'll have to find out why Althea is apparently off on her own, because that was not explained that I remember.
Nope. No, it was not.
But that was Morgan's reasoning for blowing off his new little love interest. And
maybe she's off looking for more videotape that doesn't exist.
Yeah, or they're trying to reinvent YouTube for the post-internet age.
I don't know who's going to watch this or when, but it's important.
We better do it. And I'm not going to put my camera down even when we're all in danger.
And there are landmines.
I was so hopeful that this was done after she met that other chick.
Me too.
And she's like, the story is not more important than people.
You promised me I'm not going to trust you ever again.
Me?
Yes, I did. You were the one who was convinced, and I kind of knew that they just couldn't let this particular storyline go with her. This is all she's about. But all right, I'll give you this one. I'll give you like.
Look, I was hurt by this too, H.A. Okay.
Not as much as me. This is painful in a way that is like, it was rough watching. I was like, oh my God, is this whole episode like this? I cannot believe this is their like mid-season premiere.
And they continue to defang Luciana by making her camera person number two.
Oh, I know.
She's gone from like head of the scouts at the Colonia to one-armed. I mean, I think maybe her other arm is back in action. I don't remember if she had a sling on or not, but
she didn't seem to have a sling. She seems to be back in action.
She's just comic relief now, though. She's just like a funny little warm teddy bear of a character instead of being this badass that she was when we first met her.
I know. I would like them to bring that badass back and put more of her on the show and cut Althea. That would be great.
Yeah, disappointing. So
tonight, if I ruled the world.
Tonight there's a third episode. And by the time we record again, there will have been a fourth episode? Is that maybe? Yeah, I don't know. Did they put one out the weekend of Labor Day?
I think they do. I think they did last year. So right. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, so if they do, next time we get together, which we're going to try and record on Labor Day because we're crazy and we're going to do it in our white pants.
Yep, and we're going to labor on Labor Day.
Yeah, so hard.
Work.
And I guess you just can't wear white. It doesn't have to be pants. But if, you know, I assume that you have a pair of white pants. Of course I do.
I definitely do not.
Okay, who owns white
pants? I don't think I own anything that is white, honestly.
Whoa, you're
I live in New York.
Edgy. You're so edgy and gothic.
No, I'm just dirty and sloppy, so I can't be trusted with anything
you
that's
have to wear
not
things
black.
That already look like ketchup stain, yes.
Correct, oh, correct.
Got it, got it. Well, we're going to try and record two more episodes next time we get together. And hopefully, I want this show to be good, guys. I don't want to be complaining about it. So let's all channel our positive energy into these shows that have already been totally filmed and edited. But we can hope.
Yes, we can hope and we can dream.
So give us a holler. Gmail, reanimatedpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, reanimatedpodcast. The website, reanimatedpodcast.com.
And until next time, ciao.
Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.